Ramsey TV.
Folks, make sure you go to my website, martinzender.com, to keep up with any news or happenings that may cause me to not be on YouTube. Yeah, I told you what happens. It's unfortunate, but you got to play by the rules. So I want you to go to martinzender.com. I've encouraged you to do this many times. I'm going to encourage you to do it now. Go to martinzender.com. Scroll down a little bit. On the right, you're going to see a little panel that says sign up. I want you to sign up. That way you'll get my newsletters. You'll get notifications of videos that may be published on other platforms. And you're also going to get some free stuff. I think you get my article, long article, that will be made into a book called What is a Believer? So yes, go to martinzender.com. Don't hesitate. Do it now. Put this on pause. Go to martinzender.com. Scroll down on the right. See, sign up. Sign up for my newsletter and all things Zender. You won't miss a thing. And also, I want to remind you that on Sunday, another Rodney Parris Martin Zender video went out. This time, Rodney Parris is running the radio shows that myself and five other people did in 1999 on the largest radio station, the largest Christian radio station in Cleveland, Ohio. Yes, we blew up Christianity on their own station. And we were so devastating. We were on for 5 weeks. They eliminated the whole Have Guest Ministries program. They eliminated the whole program where they allow guest ministries to come in and take a week of radio, live radio, call-in radio. Yeah, we bought 5 weeks, and we were so devastating. They had to fulfill their contract. But they eliminated the program to prevent us from ever coming back. Anyway, the video that went out Sunday is very basic concerning evil. We just got into the, barely got into the introduction to the topic. But I opened the audio back in those days. I put this out on cassette tapes. I opened with a very thorough, I think, explanation of evil. It's a great start for somebody who's unfamiliar with this great truth, that God is in control of everything and that he created evil for a purpose. And then Rodney tagged on to the end of that a video I made 20 years later, an MCTV video, probably 25 years later, on the two Gospels. And again, very basic. This is a great video to give to people and introduce them to these new truths. So I am in the book of Philippians right now. I'm not necessarily going to go through the whole book. I've just felt that I needed to read this to you because, not read it, but comment on it. It's so personal. Paul loves this ecclesia. This is his pet ecclesia, really. They helped him a lot. They were mature. They weren't problematic to him like the Corinthians were. They weren't as stupid as the Galatians, who were ready to be blown about by every wind of teaching. He loved these people. He's writing them from prison, and he gives them some amazing revelations. So we left off yesterday being filled with the fruit of righteousness. Verse 11 of Philippians chapter 1. The fruit of righteousness that is through Jesus Christ. The righteousness is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the fruit of that righteousness is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, gentleness, self-control. You might say, Martin, no, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, that is the fruit of the Spirit. But it's the Spirit that causes you to understand that you have been given God's righteousness, and you apprehend this by faith. And if you truly apprehend it, it will produce fruit in you without you even trying. So this is the fruit of righteousness that is through Jesus Christ for the glory and laud of God. Well, why wouldn't it be? Paul says earlier, he who undertakes a good work among you will be performing it. He'll be performing it through you. And we're going to get to this in chapter 2, if I get that far, Philippians 2, 12, 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God operating in you to will as well as to work for the sake of his delight. He's doing all of this for his glory and for the laud of his name. Like Moses said to God, your name is at stake here. You can't give up on these people that you called, even though they are at present, dancing around a golden calf. No, don't give up on him for your own namesake. Do you think God's going to give up on you? He who has undertaken the work of perfecting you, of bringing you to maturity, he will be performing it. You think you're performing it? Yes, you do perform, but it's God operating in you to perform. He is actually the one performing it through you. You're a canvas that he is painting a masterpiece on. Well, okay, maybe you might not be a Picasso. Okay, you might be a stick drawing. It doesn't matter. It's God's work. And God, his wisdom is multifarious, as Scripture says in another place, multifaceted. Just look at the variety in the creation, the animal creation, the undersea world. People, everybody's different. And so why would God do the same thing with you that he's doing with me or with somebody else? It's a personal work. It's a private work. It's all going to fit together in the end. You're being chiseled and fashioned and made to fit your place in his great plan as members of Christ's body. Now Paul says in verse 12, I am intending you to know, brethren, that my affairs, this is so funny, that my affairs have rather come to be for the progress of the evangel. What? Wait, Paul, you're in jail. You should be complaining. You should be forlorn. But I told you one thing about this guy, Paul, and I encourage you all to do this. He befriended people. He was not a pain in the ass. He was really only a pain in the ass to the Ecclesias. Yeah, you heard that right. Paul was tough on the Ecclesias because it was tough love. He's not worried about reforming the Romans, the soldiers that are guarding him. He's having nice conversations with them. Paul entertained Agrippa and Festus when he was on trial in Caesarea. They liked him. They wanted to let him go. In fact, Agrippa said, I would have let this man go, but he appealed to Caesar. This guy didn't do anything wrong. In fact, I like him. He's funny. Paul had a great line there when he was on trial in Caesarea. I think it was Agrippa that said, Christ, Paul, any more and you're going to make me become a Christian. You're going to turn me into a believer. Paul's giving his testimony before this heathen king. The heathen king says, and Paul was deferential to him. He says, I'm convinced, King Agrippa. And he doesn't call him buddy or pal. No, he's respectful. King Agrippa, I'm convinced that these things I'm talking about, you know of these things. You're a smart guy. You get around. You read the papers. You got your ear to the wind. You know what's happening. I know you know about these things. And that's when Agrippa said, Paul, you keep going. I'm going to become a believer just like you. Then Paul brings the house down with this line. He says, well, I wish that everybody was like me. And then he looks down and he said, well, except for these chains. Except for these chains. He brought the house down. Use a little humor. Humor lubricates a lot of situations. Be funny. Paul was funny when he needed to be. But he's also a pain in the ass when he's bringing the body to maturity. Now, I'm intending you to know, brethren, that my affairs have come to be for the progress of the evangel, so that my bonds in Christ became apparent in the whole praetorium, that is, the whole Roman outfit there, the whole barracks, the whole Roman system, which in many ways was evil. But I think because Paul was so jovial in his bonds, so that my bonds in Christ, and remember, Rome knew, most of Rome, most of the officials, that they knew that Paul was in prison for some because of the Jews. He was in prison because of his own people. And I told you before, Rome actually protected Paul on several occasions. They saved him from the religious lunatics. I would rather fall into the hands of Rome than in the hands of religious lunatics. Paul, being a Roman citizen, was great advantage to him to be a Roman citizen. He took advantage of it whenever he could. because he's smart. Be smart and be funny. You'll go a long way in this life. And like my dad always told me, when you shake hands with somebody, look them in the eye and give them a firm grip. Don't hand them a fish. Don't give them this. People can't shake hands today. I told my boys this. I said, if you want to get a job today, just look the guy. Look your future employer in the eye. Shake his hand firmly. And you'll get a job. Because the bar is so low today that anybody who has any sense of respect and self-awareness, self-dignity, will get a job. You'll go to the head of the class. Just be decent. Be firm. Be sure of yourself. And be funny. I still can't get over this. My affairs have rather come to be. He says the word rather because it seems against anything that could possibly happen. Rather than what? Rather than my bonds being a hindrance to the evangel. No, he says, so that my bonds in Christ became apparent in the whole praetorium and to all the rest, and the majority of the brethren, having confidence in the Lord as to my bonds. What kind of confidence? Confidence that Paul was a slave, as he says at the beginning, of Christ Jesus. His bonds were because of his defense of the evangel. Having confidence in the Lord as to my bonds are more exceedingly daring. So those who are not in jail, who knew the evangel, people like Barnabas, Timothy, Apollos, Epaphras, these guys were emboldened. Because here's Paul being jovial in prison, writing happy letters like this one to the Philippians, and they're saying to themselves, man, I got it pretty good compared to Paul. He's actually heralding, he's actually bringing members of Caesar's household, as we're going to see later, into the faith. Caesar's household. It's a wonder Caesar didn't become a believer because of this guy. He's probably buying lunch for his guards. Not even kidding. He had a rented quarters early in his imprisonment. He rented his own place and he had watches over him, guards over him. I don't know if he was chained. Yeah, well, he says he was. My bonds in Christ. I think he means literal bonds. I mean, he's under house arrest. Don't know if he's actually chained to the table. I doubt he's chained to the wrist of a guard. I don't think it's that severe at this point, but. So people are becoming more daring to speak the word of God fearlessly. Some indeed are even, oh, there's a big misunderstanding with this following verse. Some indeed are even heralding Christ because of envy and strife, yet some because of delight also. These indeed of love, having perceived that I am located for the defense of the evangel, yet those are announcing Christ out of faction, not purely, surmising to arouse affliction in my bonds. What then? Moreover, seeing that by every method, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is being announced, I am rejoicing in this also and will be rejoicing. All right, I'm going to comment on this and then I'm going to have to go for the day. But this is so good. Some were trying to cause Paul problems. Like, they think it's a competition. So some people, this is pathetic, but some people are thinking that, well, since Paul's in jail, he can't go out and get many converts. I'm going to go out and take Paul's converts. I'm going to build an assembly. I'm going to build an ecclesia for myself. It's going to be the ecclesia of Bill. And so they tried to cause Paul problems. Paul says, I don't care if it's the ecclesia of Bill, of Dave, or of Oscar the Grouch. Christ is being heralded. Now, some people think that because Paul said this, Paul doesn't care if these people got the evangel correct. Paul says, no matter what, they're heralding. No, he doesn't say no matter what, they're heralding. And Paul would never rejoice that Christ is being announced if Christ was being announced erroneously, if Christ was being announced with a mixture of law. No, these people, even though they're assholes in that they're trying to cause Paul pain in his bonds, nevertheless, they must be heralding Christ correctly or Paul would not be rejoicing. So I reject these people who tell me. I think even A.E. Nock might have suggested this, that, see, you don't have to get the gospel right. You don't have to get the elements correct, just as long as you're heralding. No. It's the motives. Paul was willing to excuse motives. He's not willing to excuse false teaching. He's not willing to excuse mistakes. Some are heralding Christ because of envy and strife, like it's a competition. I mean, we're competing in the faith, yes, but not to get a name for ourselves, not to get converts for ourselves. I mean, I like the fact that hundreds of people have read my books. I'm happy about that. It is about numbers. People say, it's not about numbers, Martin. Yeah, well, it is about numbers. I'm sorry. Paul said, I become all things to all people that I may be saving the more. He talks about being all things to all people. He wants to get as many people to understand the gospel as he can. Numbers are a good thing. Don't think numbers are a bad thing. Folks, I know we're not going to get the numbers, but numbers are a good thing, not a bad thing. And I know it sounds like a little Christian-y to say that, and I risk that by saying that to you. But we're not out to sabotage ourselves, are we? Some guy got pissed off at me because he thought my books were too slick. Oh, your books are too fancy. Your covers are too nice. You write too well. It's like it's too commercial, Martin. Like, okay, well, what am I supposed to do? Make ugly covers? I mean, this is ridiculous. These people are walking in accord with flesh who say things like this. Paul says, hey, as long as they're proclaiming the correct gospel, I'm not concerned about their motives, even though their motives might suck. And Paul says this, I am located for the defense of the evangelism. This is the second time in this letter, and we're still in chapter 1, that he talks about the defense of the evangel. Paul defends the evangel. I defend this evangel. And for those who would say, none of you would say this, but some of you have said it. Why are you so, how dare you say you're defending? The gospel doesn't need defended. Well, apparently it does. Paul is set for the defense of it, located for the defense of it. Where is he located when he's writing this? I am located for the defense of the evangel. He's located in a Roman prison. His GPS coordinates have been set ahead of time by God to locate him at this time in a Roman prison. He was located. You are located. I am located right now in this chair in Fort Lauderdale at the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula for the defense of the evangel. You are located. You are where you're supposed to be, right down to the GPS coordinates. And God's GPS coordinates, I venture to say, are even more precise than the world's GPS coordinates. We're all located for this faith, for the defense of the evangel. And I hope none of us announce this evangel out of faction, but we do it purely, out of a pure heart, out of wanting the message to go out, not caring who gets the credit. Who cares who gets the credit? Do I like it when people say, I got the truth from your book? Of course I do. I got the truth from your show, Martin. I watch MZTV 472 or whatever, and I got the truth. I love it. I love to hear that. But am I upset if somebody says, oh, I got the truth from Scott Hickel, or I got the truth from Rob Weil, or I got the truth from some other ministry. I got the truth from Jess or Jason, or I got the truth from Chris and Dean. I love it. I love it. I've encouraged everybody, all of you, start a YouTube channel. Bring the last member into the body of Christ. Would I like to bring the last member into the body of Christ? Yeah, of course I would. Am I going to be upset if you do it? Hell no. Hell no.